لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا فيه نحمده ونستعينه ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الأمر كله وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وسلم وعلى صحبه وأزواجه ومن تبع هديهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد, in the name of Allah, the most gracious, the most compassionate, the most merciful, I bear witness that there is nothing and no one worthy of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Lord of the world, the nourisher and sustainer of the universe, the master of the day of judgment. And I bear witness that our beloved Prophet and Messenger Muhammad, the son of Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, arose over 1421 years ago in the land of Arabia with the final guidance, the final message for all humanity, for all times, for all peoples, for all places. And that his message is the continuity and the culmination of all the messages of all the prophets before him, from Adam to Noah to Abraham and Moses and Jesus and everyone in between, peace be upon all of them. And that message is the supremacy and the total dominion of the Lord of the world, who will resurrect all creation to stand before him on the day of judgment, as he had created them from nothing, to be responsible for their deeds. If their deeds are good, eternal joy with him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. If their deeds are otherwise, it is up to his mercy and justice. Every time that the year comes around anew, the believer is reminded of yet another opportunity, another occasion to devote themselves to the ideals of our beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he planted in his glorious sahaba radiallahu anhu. And how the particular spirit, especially of the time that begins the year, particularly the holy month of Muharram and what follows it, and the lessons that can be learned not so much only from the events that happened in the transformative period that constantly is rejuvenated, not in any anniversary kind of form, but rather in a renewal of a spirit that must continue throughout one's lifetime in order to stay truthful to those ideals that our beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sought for his companions to embody. And so what we'd like to reflect upon this afternoon, only by his permission and allowance, subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the spirit that our beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam inculcated and planted in his sahaba radiallahu anhu, particularly from the lessons of the events that happened early in the year of the Hijri era, and how those things facilitated an ideal or a model for change for all time to come, not only for Medinan society. The month of Muharram, remarkably by itself, and I know that we've passed it, but particularly it among the beginning months that begin the year, witnessed remarkable anniversaries or remarkable occasions of transformations that are historical. The month of Muharram witnessed the salvation of the Jews out of the land of Egypt by the facility of our beloved Prophet Musa alayhi wa ala rasulina afdalu salati wa taslim. And it is remarkable that historically it is also during Muharram that the Jews were evacuated or ejected after the Battle of Khaybar. That also is in Muharram. So when you are in position to inherit the earth, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, وَجَعَلْنَا مِنْهُمْ أَئِمَّةً يَهْدُونَ بِأَمْرِنَا, we made the tribe of Israel, we made the children of Israel imams, we made them examples, we made them teachers of goodness. When they were patient, when they were perseverant, and when they listened to the commands of Allah. And not ironically that during the same era, obviously much later during the time of our beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when they transgressed, Allah willed that it is during Muharram also, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the 12th of Muharram, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the 7th year of the Hijrah, willed that they be ejected from Medinan society after the Battle of Khaybar. The month of Muharram also witnessed the martyrdom of two great imams of the Ummah, Abdullah ibn Zubayr radiyallahu anhu and Sayyidina al-Imam al-Husayn ibn Ali alayhi salam. Our beloved scholars radiyallahu anhum have said, according to various traditions and narrations, that there can be no catastrophe in the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after the martyrdom of al-Imam al-Husayn ibn Ali radiyallahu anhumah. That is the ultimate catastrophe, because the Ummah had moved into a position that violated that continual devotion to the change that our beloved sought to continue forever. And thus, that is only one of the reasons why his martyrdom, alayhi salatu wasalam, is the epitome of all earthly transgression. Now, the point here, as we have once before talked about the political dimensions of this time in our history, we choose today to talk about the dynamic of change that our beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam instituted in his sunnah to facilitate such things. To take a few examples of how he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam motivated his Sahaba to change, to facilitate such courage to stand against tyranny and oppression, and to make the most sacred and precious blood a mark of damnation among and upon all tyrants until the day of judgment, is something most profound in his adab sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The first example I'd like to share with you is the example of Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, as we were honored to narrate from the Muwatta of Imam Malik. Following the famous Battle of Uhud, when they were burying their martyrs, our beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam pointed to the ground and he said, "Those that we have just buried, I testify to their truthfulness. Ha ulai ashhadu alayhim. Those that we have just buried, I testify for them. I testify regarding their truthfulness." And herein, beloved brothers and sisters, lies the very first lesson in how our beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam planted the seed for change to represent truthfulness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No one among his companions radiyallahu anhum, none of them, even his closest family, had any license of their truthfulness. Yes, for example, Sayyidina al-Husayn alayhi salam was promised barakah and victory and was promised goodness, and so was his father radiyallahu anhum. And one remarkable example, as we were honored to narrate from the Musnad of Abu Ya'la al-Mawsili radiyallahu anhu, that on the authority of Fatima radiyallahu anha, the daughter of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she said that my two boys, al-Hassan wa al-Husayn alayhi wa sallam, were wrestling in the company of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And my father, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was saying, "Hayya Hassan, hayya Hassan, go Hassan, go Hassan, get him." And he said, "Ya Rasulullah, why do you say hayya Hassan? What about Hussein?" And he said, alayhi salatu wa sallam, "Because Jibreel is saying hayya Hussein." So this, by the way, is narrated again in the Musnad of Abu Ya'la al-Mawsili rahimahullah, and on the authority of our masters of hadith with isnad to al-Hafiz Abu Bakr al-Haythami, its isnad is hasan. This is a good hadith. The point of this hadith is, you see, rahimahumullah, a validation of the support of the angels for someone of the beloved family of our blessed Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but not an affirmation or an infinite license for their truthfulness. Just as Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu in the story where our beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, those we have just buried, I testify for. And Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the favorite, the best, the closest friend, the intimate companion, the companion in the hijrah, everything, asked for a license of truthfulness. He said, what about us, Ya Rasulullah? We sacrificed like them. We struggled like them. We fought like them. We got injured like them. What about us? And our beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said again, those underground I testify for. Those of you who are still alive have yet to pass your trials. And I do not know what you will do after. And so our beloved Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu now cried, because now he is met with a bigger trauma than he was prepared for. He said, Ya Rasulullah, أَإِنَّا لَسَائِنُونَ بَعْدَكَ. Wait a minute, now that testimony that we are truthful doesn't matter anymore. You will go and you will stay, Ya Rasulullah. You see, that hurts. We don't care about testimony for being truthful anymore. We want to know, we want to be with you. And so, as we are honored to narrate from Imam al-Wasadi al-Shafi'i rahimahullah, that what took Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu eventually so close to the time of the Prophet's departure sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is love. The devotion of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu to our beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was so deep and so profound and so unparalleled that he could not bear distance from his beloved for more than a year. Of course, regardless of the strength of that narration, but the fact that it is narrated, and the fact that it is taught, and the fact that we are honored to narrate and share it with our brothers and sisters is profound evidence of the emotional connection that our beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had in the heart of his beloved companions radiallahu ta'ala anhum. And as much as he loved them, and as much as his love for them inspired in them to do anything, they were not a single one of them, including his closest family, was granted license of their truthfulness, which is truly profound. Of course, this is separate, as we said again, from the license to an Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam that he has the support of the angels. This is different from Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu seeking to enter into the quarters of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as we were honored to narrate from the hadith of Anas in the Sahihain of Bukhari and Muslim. And our beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِذْنَ لَهُ وَبَشِّرْهُ بِالْجَنَّةِ. Give him permission to enter and give him bushra, give him glad tidings that he is in paradise. And the same happened, Sayyidina Umar knocked on the door and the same happened. Sayyidina Anas was told, go open the door and welcome him and tell him he has Jannah. And Sayyidina Uthman comes and he says the same, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Sayyidina Ali comes and he says the same, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. However, in another hadith that we were honored to narrate in the Jami' of Imam Tirmidhi rahimahullah, this is profoundly different from the narration of Sayyidina Ali alayhi salam when he said, my beloved told me Abu Bakr and Umar are the masters of the shuyukh of Jannah, but don't tell them. And Sayyidina Ali narrated this hadith only after their passing radiyallahu anhumah. This is totally different from a testimony that you are truthful. You have to pass all your tests. and the only time that you know you are truthful in implementing the change that Sharia sought for you to implement is when you have paid the ultimate price of sacrifice. مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ رِجَالٌ صَدَقُوا مَا عَهَدُ اللَّهَ عَلَيْهِ فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ قَضَى نَحْبَهُ وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَنْتَظِرُ وَمَا بَدَّلُوا تَبْدِيلًا. Among believers, as Allah Jesus announces in Surah Al-Ahzab, are strong people. Rijal in the Arabic language is not masculine or men. Rijal is people who are solid, people who are strong, people who are upright. Among believers are people who are strong, men and women and children and young and old, who have been truthful in their promise or their covenant with Allah. Some of them have paid the ultimate price of sacrifice, and some still await. But the key is they are still steadfast. Sayyidina Ubay ibn Ka'b represents the other example that I'd like to share with you in the prophetic model that motivated them to prepare them to the burden, the onerous burden indeed that they would carry out to him. Sayyidina Ubay, in what we were honored to narrate from Bukhari and Muslim, said in Kitab Fada'id al-Qur'an that my beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to me one day and said, Allah had instructed me to teach you an ayah from the Qur'an. And Sayyidina Ubay wanted to know one thing before he wanted to know the ayah. He said, Ya Rasulullah, awatammani laka. He mentioned my name. He told you, teach Ubay this ayah? He said, Na'am. And so, of course, he would be overwhelmed by this divine license, by this divine preparation for his incredibly burdensome role that he would carry of being the compiler of the first Muqaddas. And so you see, rahimakumullah, how our beloved companions would be prepared for the role that they were created for. But their truthfulness must await ultimate testing. The last example, and of course there are many, that I'd like to share with you by the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the remarkable example of Haram, the aunt of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who was napping in her house one day, and he woke up smiling. And she said, why do you smile, Ya Rasulullah? He said, I have seen a people from my ummah riding the sea to bring truth to what is beyond it. And she said, Ya Rasulullah, pray that I am with them. And our beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you are with them. Now the really poignant issue here is what makes an aunt of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a woman of the Ansar, know that she can ask such a question. Pray that I am with them. And he said, you are with them. You are with them. And so decades would pass, and Haram radiallahu ta'ala anha would come to hear of an expedition leaving for the sea. And with her limp and old age radiallahu anha, she rushes to meet them. And she says, wait, I'm supposed to be with you. And everybody looks around like, Khala, how can you be with us? And she said, oh, my beloved was napping in my lap one day. And I took a little bottle and I was taking from his sweat. His blessed sweat smells like musk all the time. And as I was taking from his blessed sweat, he woke up smiling and he said, I see a people from my ummah riding the sea to bring truth to what is beyond it. And I said, please pray that I am with them. And he told me that I am with them. And so, of course, as you know, they took her with them. And she, radiallahu ta'ala anha, made it to the other side of the sea. However, she needed to be helped on her horse. and unfortunately fell down from it as soon as the horse started to move. She, رضي الله تعالى عنها, is buried in Cyprus. To this day, you can visit the grave of the aunt of the Prophet in Cyprus, clearly marked, رضي الله تعالى عنها. Beloved brothers and sisters, رحمكم الله, an old aunt of the Prophet, a woman in her elder years who doesn't even know how to walk properly, much less ride a horse, still is impelled by some spirit, inexplicable in some sphere of consciousness, to desire to bring this gift to everyone and give her precious life doing it. The model that our beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had built in these amazing human beings, and thus the lesson for us to take by the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is exactly the same words, the same precious words of our most blessed and beloved sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, when he came to Medina and he found people fasting Ashura, and he said, why? And they said, well, it is the day that Allah saved the Jews. It is the day that Allah saved Moses, alayhi salatu wasalam. And what did he say? Remember? Ula bi Musa minhu. We are more worthy of loyalty to Musa, alayhi salam. We love Moses more than them. We are more worthy of loyalty to Moses more than they are. We love him more than they do. And this is the ultimate testimony that is just the beginning for us mere mortals in this world waiting to go home. How you know whether you are on that track to implement the change that our beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sought for the ummah? Is to have that yearning, in the heart to say, we love Musa alayhi salam more than anyone. We love Abu Bakr more than anyone. We love Ubay more than anyone. We love Sayyidina Ali and his grandchildren and his sons more than anyone. We love Haram more than anyone. We love them more than anyone. That is the ultimate testimony only in this world. The love of the Sahaba and the love of the Prophet's family. And the love of him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that made all of this possible, is the ultimate testimony of a person's initial readiness to move forward. And notice, rahimakumullah, we said it is the initial testimony of moving, beginning to move forward. One has not begun to move forward until they internalize the love of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his family and his companions radiyallahu ta'ala anhum in a manner that is more beloved to him than all the world. And remember the hadith where our beloved sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam said, there will come a time where people would give up their wealth and their property and their world only for the chance to see me. The grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, unfortunately I don't have time to do a comparison of how the Western model of change had, could actually be codified from the sunnah of our beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so inshallah we'll choose that for a later time so that I don't burden you inshallah. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه لعله سعب بسم الله رب العالمين وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala facilitate for us to be elements of positive change and positive influence in our lives, in our communities, in our societies, in every life we touch. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us aware of our responsibilities and bless us to do them as best as is pleasing to Him, in a manner that unites our hearts and minds in the process and brings us closer to Him only for His glory. not for any worldly title, not for any fame, for all that that is earthly, wallahi, indeed, will wither and expire, and the only thing that remains is the glory of Allah Jalla Sanat. اللهم آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار اللهم اغفر لنا ولإخواننا الذين سبقونا بالإيمان ولا تجعل في قلوبنا غلا للذين آمنوا ربنا إنك رؤوف رحيم اللهم آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار رب اغفر وارحم وأنت أرحم الراحمين اللهم استعملنا صالحين وتوفنا إليك على الإيمان غير مفتونين يا كريم اللهم أجرنا من فتنة المنطق وفتنة العمل اللهم أجرنا أن تحبط أعمالنا من حيث لا ندري اللهم أجرنا أن يشقى بنا أحد اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم انصر المجاهدين في سبيلك في كل مكان اللهم خذ على يدهم واكتب لهم التوفيق والسلامة والهمة يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم من أراد بالإسلام والمسلمين شرا فخذه أخذ عزيز مقتدر اللهم عليك بأعداء الدين فإنهم لا يعجزونك سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين وأقم الصلاة إن الصلاة تنهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون.